you know, what we saw in Kansas for the primaries. We saw some of the highest voter turnout we've had ever, especially for a primary election. You know, usually those are the folks that are really engaged voters. They're, you know, they turn out every single year. And so I think we're going to have a really great turnout. I think, you know, what I see as exciting is, so much engagement and interest across the board and in conversations, whether, you know, the connotation is, you know, positive or negative, right? That's, what we care about. What I care about, working for a health center is that as many folks that are eligible to vote actually get to the polls, submit their ballot, have taken the time to educate themselves, talk with family and friends about their decisions and submit their ballot.
And we don't have to go into exact healthcare issues, but how important is folks making that decision on their healthcare at the polling place? How does that work with your job?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have done a lot. We've taken a much more active role in voter engagement over this last year. And promoting voter registration is nothing new for health centers. In fact, in the Voter Registration Act of 1993, where the DMV was designated as a site to facilitate voter registration, health centers were encouraged to do the same thing, right? Because there is this direct link related to, right, our elected officials are often making decisions or considering policies that are going to directly affect our healthcare costs, our coverage options, costs of medications, and access to care. So there's a direct link between what policies are decided and what conversations are had at the legislature that, you know, we want everybody that is eligible to vote just to have a say in that, right? And, you know, Kansas historically has had some of the lowest voter turnout. I think over the last year, we were like 41st out of 50 states in voter turnout. So, right, that's a huge goal of ours is to see that engagement across our community, because when we know that there are more, everyone that's eligible to vote that does vote, not only the elected officials, but also the policies that are decided are going to be more representative of the community themselves.
Leah, I think it's interesting that you talk about the interest in voting and, you know, different states rank highest to lowest, who's most engaged and who's not. NBC News recently published an article talking about how months ago there was such a disparity between Republican and Democratic interest in the midterm elections coming up. Republicans were placing very high and Democrats surveyed were placing about 9% lower. But in just this last week, Democrat interest has come up in the polls, and now these polls show that Democrats and Republicans surveyed are tied in interest. So I agree, this election today is going to be very important.
Yes. Yep. Absolutely. Right. We've got some, you know, right. Governor is on the ballot. We have judges and a couple of amendments too that, are really important for everyone to exercise their right to vote.
Well, switching gears here a little bit, you were bringing up before we started recording about some new exciting things that are going on with Wesley House and CHC. Tell our listeners about that.
Absolutely. So, right. So Wesley House is the major food pantry in Crawford County. And then we also have services for our homeless community members, both outreach, case management, and a day shelter, which provides two hot meals a day. And over the last couple of years, Community Health Center has really also grown in our services that really parallel and complement the populations that are served at Wesley House. So Community Health Center has grown substantially. Support for community health workers. And community health workers are some of our staff and teams that do community engagement and outreach. They do street outreach. They are really recognizing that, right, most of what impacts somebody's health happens outside the clinics and in their homes and neighborhoods. And so they will go and meet people where they are and talk about those things that, right, are often keep somebody from accessing their care or understanding their health, right, those basic things, food access, transportation, understanding how, you know, to take their medications, or, you know, that it's important to go to the doctor, even when you're healthy, not just when you're sick, not waiting until it's an emergency. So we have really paralleled our services with Wesley House over the last couple of years. And in the last few months, Wesley House has had some opportunities for leadership and structure. And our history at CHC goes back with Wesley House. Our DNA is intertwined. CHC actually had their first board meeting and dental clinic held at the Wesley House. So something Krista Postai, our CEO, has said over and over again, right? We would not be the CHC that we are today without Wesley House. And so it has just been a very natural fit for us to decide to integrate our services and then also expand services here at Wesley House. So some of the things we're looking at, right, is bringing in our behavioral health, addiction counselors. We also are looking at, we do a lot of adult programming, whether this is more education on things like, again, how to manage and understand your hypertension, but also, you know, really using this space here as a place for folks to connect with purpose. I think something that we've seen over the last couple of years, especially as we, as a community, regionally, globally, even, are recovering from COVID, is also recovering from that social isolation and loneliness. I think we're all ready to get back into, right, connecting with other humans, whether it is our mail carrier or some of the folks in our very closest network. So we're looking at having things like art classes. We were talking with some of our community members about, you know, what would bring some value to your time here at Wesley House. One of the first things that was brought up were reading and writing classes. So we're going to look at bringing some of those things in here, and then, you know, talking about the services we have today and how it relates to what we hope to bring in the community in 6 months, in 6 years. So things like, right, partnerships with employers, building pathways to employment, building pathways to secure housing, and having conversations on a systems level to really bring those solutions that may not quite exist yet for a lot of our low-income families and our homeless community members.
Now, Leah, you mentioned talking with, let's go back to maybe the houseless or the homeless, and getting these folks to visit the doctor when they're healthy instead of using the ER as their primary yes. care physician, right? That's also part of it too.
Exactly. Yes. So actually something we're really excited about is we have a community health worker who is also a paramedic and does a phenomenal job of crisis intervention and triaging, right? And that's kind of historically what has been a barrier, is that our friends that are homeless come in and, right, they need the care right then and there. And it's like, well, you know, we can maybe get you in a couple of weeks, you know? So huge strength here is to actually be able to meet that during the crisis and look at preventing and alternatives for that burden to be on our emergency services in the community, both whether that's law enforcement, EMS, or the emergency room.
And one last question for you. The holidays are approaching, and I know that you all do a lot of work through the Wesley House to provide meals for families there in Crawford County.
Yes, food is a big service and mission of ours. And Wesley House is actually legally and financially owned by the First United Methodist Church. And something that's always been a part of our mission is to provide the Christmas meal and for our individuals and families in, that are accessing our services here. Our goal is 400 families to provide, you know, meat, side dishes, dessert, for however many family members they have in the household. So right now we are actually doing signups for that 1 to 3 every single day. So from today, November 7th through Thursday, this week, we will have signups for that. You can come in, you just need your photo ID, any proof of income. And then if you have children in your family, you know, just either their identification, social security card, or a letter from the school. So that way we can get everything that family is going to need for that holiday meal. These are all donation based. And we have estimated that an average box for an average family size, it costs about $62.50. So we are also welcoming donations of cash, or even, you know, if you have things like, stuffing mixes, or we also do some hygiene products in those boxes. Would welcome any level of donations, and if that's not feasible, but you still want to help, we are always taking volunteers to come spend time with us here in Crawford County.
Now, you mentioned that the signups are 1 to 3 through this Thursday. Where physically do families need to go to sign up?
Yes, we are located 411 East 12th Street in Pittsburgh, Kansas.
So simple enough to get you and your family signed up there in Crawford County. I appreciate your information.